Hi, welcome to Microsoft Build 2017. My name's Steve, this is my colleague Usman, and we're going to be giving you a quick lap around Python in Visual Studio. If that's enough to get you interested and you just want to dive in and get started, here are some links to go to. visualstudio.com/python will get you the downloads, and there's the docs link as well. I'll show you these again at the end if you need to hear the rest of the talk before we get there. And if this sounds familiar, you may have been using these tools already. We've been available for Visual Studio 2015 and earlier through the installer, but now we're refreshed, updated, and integrated into the next version of Visual Studio. Usman, tell us, how do we get it?
Visual Studio comes with concepts of workloads. Developer can pick and choose the specific tools they require by choosing individual workloads. For instance, if you're an ASP.NET developer, you can just go ahead and download the ASP.NET web development workload. In Visual Studio 2017, we have Python support delivered via two workloads, the Python development workload and the data science and analytical applications workload. Let's look into the data science workload. This comes packed with F# support, Python language support, and R language support. But more than that, it has the Anaconda distribution, the Python runtimes that you need. It comes with the Microsoft R client and also other Python support, such as web support and support for cookie cutter templates. The cool thing about workloads is that you can control the size of your installation. For instance, if you want to get started fast with Python, you can simply go and pick the Python options and get started with the workload. The Anaconda distribution comes packed with 750 plus scientific computing packages, so you don't need to specifically set up your environment once you have installed the distribution to do most of the data science problems. You might also just want to choose the Python development workload, which does not have options such as F# and the R language support. Now Steve can tell us more about these individual components.
Yeah, once you get into Visual Studio, the first thing you need to do is get started. Now that typically involves creating a new project, and so we have templates. Once the Python support is installed, when you bring up the new project dialog, you'll see a whole selection of Python templates there. Empty projects, projects that can import existing code, web projects. If you add new item, then there's modules, classes, configuration files, all the stuff that you're going to need. But we also have this new cool feature in 2017 for support for Cookie Cutter. A Cookie Cutter is an external open source project that will pull down templates from GitHub and let you customize them to create entire projects or just single items to add into your project. And we've brought this into Visual Studio. It's got a nice UI. You can search and we'll find any templates that are on GitHub. You can put in your own path, your own local repositories, and have reusable, highly customizable templates for use in Visual Studio. I'll be demoing this in a little bit. Once you've got your project with a whole lot of source code, you need somewhere to keep it. Visual Studio's version control system works just as well for Python as for any other language. This is Git, this is TFS. If you bring in the extension, you can have really nice GitHub integration. And Visual Studio Team Services is fully available for everything from work item tracking, source control, build, test, continuous deployment, is all available for Python as well. One of the strongest points of Python is its package ecosystem. And so we've brought that into Visual Studio as well. You can search and install packages for your Python projects coming from PyPI.org, the Python Package Index. We'll give you update notifications when there's a new version available, and virtual environment support is there as well so that your project can have its own set of packages independent from whatever else you have running on your system at the time. Now we can jump into the editor, and you'll find that Python IntelliSense is right up there with the other languages. We support Go to Definition. If you hit F12 on basically any name, we'll jump to where it's defined. Refactoring to take a variable name, a class name, a function name, and change it across your entire code base, or to extract methods into more convenient pieces. And we use static type analysis to flow through the knowledge of how you're using your variables. Python doesn't have type definitions everywhere like many other languages, so this is the only way that we can provide that helpful knowledge that you need about what values a variable might have at a certain point. And once you've written code, you need to make sure it keeps working. Unit test support is baked into Python through the unit test module, and we'll bring that into the UI through the Test Explorer window. You can list and run tests. It's easy to rerun failed tests and see in the results why they failed, track down the code that's responsible. And if you have Visual Studio Enterprise, you also have access to code coverage analysis, which will show you all the lines of code that are covered by particular tests. Let's jump in and see some of this in action now. So I have here a Django website. It's a fairly basic website. I've been developing it locally. I'll run it so you can see it. This is basically tracking a list of employees that I have at my business. At the moment, I'm using local test data. You'll see it runs out after 100. We have many more employees than that. This is not the full data set. If I jump back into VS, it's getting the database from this SQLite database, which is just a small set of sample data. The actual database is on Azure. It's running in a SQL instance there. So what I need is a connector for Django to map the object model to that SQL Azure database. And I happen to know that there is a cookie cutter template that will add that connector for me. So I could jump to my how long folder here and add a new item from cookie cutter. This is going to pop up our UI for cookie cutter, which, as I said before, will let you search and can search all of GitHub. If I type in SQL Azure and search, then we'll see there my two demo scripts, but the one that I want is here, already selected. I double click on that, and now I get to customize it. Because I selected to add a new item to the project, it's going to add files into my existing project. We're not creating a brand new one this time. And the main thing I need to add is my connection string to the database. The dot 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 here pops up a helpful dialog so that I can do this easily. Just by filling in all of the forms here. If I got everything right, then I can see my database name. And now I've filled in the connection string. And you can see my password there. That will be changed before this video is released. And I can add to project. Some extensions that we've added to Cookie Cutter that aren't in the core project and are only available in Visual Studio. This extra tasks on completion is one of them. To add this connector, I need to add some extra packages. And because we know you're in Visual Studio, we know you need these packages, we'll forward that through and add a notification that just says you need to install these required packages. And you'll probably want to install them into your virtual environment. So we'll just make that a one click. The extra pieces that I need are now installed. And the files that I've added are now in my project. And you can see here my database config for Django has been added here. And there's some basic instructions on how to import it into settings. So let's jump over to my settings file and just import it in place of the existing databases thing. So I know this has gone into howlong.sqlazure.django. And you'll see that even though the files just got added, all of the completions are showing up. There's still some work going on in the background to update the new packages I installed, but I can start using it straight away. The database's dictionary is defined. If I hit F12, then I can see the places where database is defined and jump to it. And now, if I save and rerun the program again, we should get a new page pop up. And this is going to go off to the SQL instance and pull down all of the employees and render them on one page, which means I have to stall for this bit because rendering that many rows on a single HTML page actually takes a decent amount of time. And so if I do stop talking, we're just going to have awkward silence while it's rendering all of that. And we're not actually going to have a successful demo because something is probably going to time out. And this is where things really fall down on very basic demos, and you should probably set up your HTML pages better than I do and page things and actually have the first page of employees and not just show all of them on a single page. But eventually, the longer we wait, we will sooner or later get a full page of more than the 100 employees we saw in the test data before. And this is totally not anyone's fault but mine for writing a bad HTML page. But that is exactly what I did. And here it is. We have a much larger list of employees because they're now being pulled from SQL Azure instance. I got there very quickly using a cookie cutter template to add the connector code that I needed. And that is that. Usman.
Awesome. Let's switch gears and talk about debugging now that you know how to set up a web project, modify it to add a database to it, and set up your environment. Visual Studio supports the same level of debugging that it does for C Sharp for Python. You can set up breakpoints, you can set up conditional breakpoints that are triggered when a variable value goes over a certain threshold. You can set up actions to take against those conditional breakpoints, such as logging a condition in a file. You can inspect locals, you can hover over variables to see their values, you can modify those values in the locals window, you can evaluate expression in the watchers window, and if you don't have exception handling in the code, you will get the pop-up for exceptions when the debugger hits them. But in Python tools, we go beyond that. Often Python developers, they want to debug an application that is running on a remote server, which could be a remote instance of Linux or a remote instance of Windows. Using Python tools, they can connect to that remote process from the comfort of Visual Studio and use all the basic debugging that we just talked about. Further, they can also secure their debugging channel with SSL. We have another cool feature in Python tools that allows developers to debug code that mixes Python and C. Often developers would do that to improve the performance of their code, or if they want to call a platform API, such as call into a device peripheral to read some data. In that scenario, we have combined call stacks, where call stacks for both Python code and C code are interleaved and the transition between them are clearly marked. If your Python frame is active, you can inspect C variables in it, and if your C frame is active, you can actually analyze your Python objects. So this gives a nifty way to debug code that mixes both of these languages together, something that advanced Python developers would find very productive. Now you've debugged your code and you're ready to profile it. Profiling can give you some interesting runtime insights. It can tell you, it can show you what the call tree of your program looks like, give you details about the functions, the processes, and the modules it calls it to. On the summary page of the profiler report, you can actually just glean which part of your program is carrying out the most work, or which part of the program most time is spent in. These insights can help you architect your application better. Beyond app development, a lot of Python developers like to execute code inside a REPL to get a result quickly, given Python is an interactive language. In Visual Studio, you can execute code in the REPL, you can prototype code in the editor and then send it to the REPL with one click, and you can also visualize results in line in the IPython mode if you have Anaconda installed. So let's take a look into how these come together to profile a Jupyter notebook. I'm on notebooks.azure.com, and I have a simple matplotlib notebook that plots 2D and 3D sine waves. I'm going to work with these in Visual Studio. I'm going to go ahead and download this notebook as a .py file. After I've downloaded, I can simply open it in Visual Studio. Here I have the same matplotlib notebook open in Visual Studio as a .py file. As you can see, all the cells that I had in the notebook also exist over here. I can expand them, and I can collapse them, and I can also send them to the REPL with a simple control enter command. I just executed all of my imports, and as you can see, I did not need to set up my environment at all because I had installed Anaconda from the data science workload. The Anaconda environment already has the Cycler, NumPy, and matplotlib packages that I need to execute this. So I'm simply going to go and hit Control Enter and execute all of these cells one by one. So I generate my data, and now I create a 2D plot. I'm going to go ahead and hit Control Enter again to create a 3D plot. And just like we have in Jupyter Notebooks, I see all of my results in line. I'm going to go ahead, increase the size of my graph so I can look at it better. This gives me a very easy way to analyze and work with Jupyter notebooks inside of Python tools. But let's move from execution and talk about using other features of the IDE to do something more complex. I have another Python notebook, which basically predicts stock values using different regressions. It gets its data from an open data set, It reads that data into a data frame using Pandas. It processes the numeric data using NumPy. It then trains and evaluates different learners, and then it would plot the results to give me an idea of which learner performs better on this data. Just like I did with my previous notebook, I'm going to go ahead and download this as a .py file, and then I can open that in Visual Studio. In interest of time, I already have that open here. Now, because I have Anaconda, I could simply go and run this script without having to set up my environment. But what I want to do is, like, I just set up this experiment to see which regression model works better. But now I want to operationalize this script. I want to create a web service that provides, that powers an on-demand stock predictor experience. In order to do that, I want to understand what the runtime behavior of each part of the program is like. Like how much time it takes to get data, to process it, to visualize it, so I can start thinking about optimizing it. To profile my script, I simply go to Analyze and launch Python Profiling. My interpreter is already selected based on the environment that's active. I give it a pointer to my script. I pick a working directory. And then I can go ahead and start profiling. I already profiled this before, so I have the profile report handy. As you can see, my program actually spends most of its time to generate plots, 40% of this time to generate plots, and 38% of its time to get the data. To get more insight into the plotting function, I can simply click on it, and I see a call graph. I see what function is calling into what function, and how much time is being spent across different functions. And I can see that the show function in the matplotlib package is taking 36.2% of the time. Given this insight, if this is not good enough for me, I can start thinking about how to render my matplotlib graphs better. Maybe I can reduce some features on it, or maybe I can swap it out with another graphing library that is optimized for speed. I can also use the debugging features to debug my code. I could simply go back to my script, I could set up breakpoints, and then start the script with debugging and use all the basic debugging features we have already discussed. So Python Tools for Visual Studio allows you to get a level of insight into Jupyter notebooks that might not be possible if you're simply using Jupyter. This gives data scientists with the powerful tools they need to operationalize their code and improve their runtime performance. With that, I'll turn back to Steve.
Yeah, great. That's a very, very quick lap around all of the things that we have inside Visual Studio. Python support is there. R support is there. A whole lot of data science features are coming online. We wish we could have spent more time going through it now. But if you do want to learn more, visualstudio.com/python is the starting point. There's also the documentation page on docs.microsoft.com is going to walk through a lot more of the features. And we hope that you'll join us in Visual Studio.